Today, the federal government is publishing new rules for the painkiller hydrocodone, which has become the country's most widely prescribed drug. Under the new rules, drugs containing hydrocodone will be moved from their current classification to a more restrictive category called Schedule 2, putting them in the same class as other common painkillers like codeine, OxyContin, and Percocet. It's an attempt to curb addiction and drug abuse, and some say it should have happened a long time ago. Dr. Eric Collins is physician-in-chief at Silver Hill Hospital in New Canaan, Connecticut. He's with us now. Welcome.
Thank you.
Well, first of all, tell us about hydrocodone and when it's prescribed and what it does and how it's different from these others, codeine and oxycodone.
Hydrocodone is an opioid pain reliever in the same class as morphine and oxycodone and others. It is typically used to treat various types of acute and sometimes chronic pain. It really isn't different from any of the others. It is marketed or produced differently because it was combined with typically acetaminophen, although there are some products that contain other substances. And in that regard, it was scheduled by the DEA in 1970 in the less restrictive Schedule 3 class.
Was that a mistake?
Well, in hindsight, people disagree about that. In hindsight, I think it was a mistake. It has just as much abuse liability as other opioid medications, which are all on Schedule 2.
Well, what kind of an impact will it have, do you think, to put it in the same category as these other drugs?
Well, one main impact, which is to reduce the amount of hydrocodone-containing products or hydrocodone combination products, as they're commonly called, because they contain acetaminophen or Tylenol. It will mean practically that patients maintained on Vicodin, which is the brand name for the combination, the most common combination product of hydrocodone, it will mean that they will need to see their physicians more frequently in order to continue to get it. So we hope and expect, and I think this is most reasonable, that this will partly reduce the growth in all the problems associated with opioid pain relievers, because this is the most widely prescribed. And those problems include overdose deaths, both accidental and intentional, the initiation of drug use. Many people have these products in their cabinets if they don't use the entire supply, and sometimes doctors prescribe very large supplies. Family members, adolescents, not uncommonly, grandchildren, not uncommonly, look into medicine cabinets. They're looking for a new sensation and try these drugs. And the best estimate we have is that close to 25% of people who try these medications recreationally will eventually become addicted to them.
Well, and we know that in 2012, U.S. doctors wrote more than 125 million prescriptions for hydrocodone-containing medications, and that more than 16,000 Americans died after overdosing on these painkillers in 2010. What have you seen in your own work in terms of addiction or even death from these drugs?
It's a great question, and I've seen a fair amount of addiction and some deaths. One of the things that I haven't heard many people talk about that worries me is related to the risk of liver toxicity and death that comes from the Tylenol included in Vicodin. Tylenol is toxic to the liver, and because it's carried along in the pill, people who develop a habit and start to take more and more and more of it will take increasing amounts of Tylenol. And any of us who've worked in major medical centers have seen people die of Tylenol toxicity. So I've seen overdose deaths because people are not tolerant and trying to use these recreationally. They combine them with alcohol or sedative drugs like Valium or Xanax, and that's especially dangerous. That combination is a big portion of those overdose deaths. You know, I've worked with families who've lost one of their children because they've accidentally overdosed. And, you know, one important observation we've seen in the last 20 years is that every year, year after year, the amount of opioid prescriptions that have been available to the U.S. public has gone up. And correlated with that, and we think causally related, has been an increase in overdose deaths. We've also seen a corresponding increase in treatment admissions. for addiction to opioids. One of the other parts of this story is when people start by recreationally using these pain relievers, when their habit gets so expensive, one of the ways they cope with that is by switching over to heroin.
I do want to ask you about one thing on the flip side, though. There are physicians like Mark Fleury at the American Cancer Society that says what this means, what the federal government is doing here, is that seriously ill patients are now going to have to visit their doctors more often than necessary because of the new rules. What about that?
I actually think that there's a trade-off here. Most patients who need long-term pain management probably benefit from seeing their doctor more often. And even for those, as you suggest, who may not need to per se, it's an important step we need to take to have all doctors pay more attention to the risks attached to prescribing opioids for chronic pain. There may be some patients with pain who do not need to see their doctor more often for clinical reasons, but they now will have to for regulatory reasons. That's been true for all the other opioid pain relievers, and it was really an anomaly that hydrocodone wasn't classed in the same way. I don't think many of the most severe chronic pain patients are taking this medication, frankly. It's very widely prescribed, but most of the doctors who are specializing in treating chronic pain switch patients over to better products, in part because the Tylenol limits the amount someone can get anyway, just the toxicity potential with the Tylenol. So I don't think there are that many patients with chronic pain who were taking Vicodin and didn't have to see their doctor very often. I'm sure there are some, but it's a trade-off for society I think should make. I would argue it's going to save costs in the long run to our healthcare system because it will reduce, it will have a small but important impact on reducing the risk of addiction.
Dr. Eric Collins is physician in chief at Silver Hill Hospital in New Canaan, Connecticut. Dr. Collins, thank you for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
And let us know what you think of the new federal rules on hydrocodone. You can go to our website, hereandnow.org. You can also send us a tweet, @hereandnow. I'm @Jeremy Hobson.